Our scripture this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. So there's an important holiday coming up, as we all know, Black Friday. Get excited, yeah. It's a wonderful holiday described by the word black. We also use the word black to describe things like plagues and death. So just keep that in mind. No, Thanksgiving is the real holiday I want to talk to you about today. But more than Thanksgiving, I want to explore how we can be a kind of thankful and prayerful people always. In the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou, one of my favorites, three men escape from prison at the beginning of the story, and much of the story is them running from the law. There's Pete and Delmar and Everett. They're running from the law, and finally at the end they're caught and about to be hung. So Everett at that point gets on his knees and he begins to pray. Really heartfelt prayer, but it's really the kind of prayer, it sounds like the kind of prayer you pray when you don't really pray too often. He prays, "Oh Lord, please look down and recognize us poor sinners. Forgive us, Lord, and save us, and I swear I'll change my ways." About that time, a flood comes through and the guards are washed away and they're saved by the flood. Pete and Delmar are so happy. They say, "Everett, you prayed and we were delivered." But Everett changes his tune pretty quickly and he says, "Well, there's got to be a scientific explanation for this. Anything but God. It seems we often pray when things get rough, and we may be thankful when things are going well. But in our scripture today, Paul insists on a different way of praying and living. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives us several commands about the way life in Christ should be lived. Paul says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances." Throughout the Gospels, Jesus would be teaching and his followers would be listening and nodding along in agreement, I'm sure. And then he would say something so true but so difficult that people would have a really hard time following him, and or maybe they would just ignore that particular line. We would never do that when we read the Bible, would we? This is one of those moments for Paul, I think. We perhaps wish Paul said something more like, "Rejoice in some things. Feel free to pray at your convenience. Or give thanks in some circumstances when things are going well." That would be more doable, it seems, because life happens, you know. These are not easy commands. I think part of what Paul may be saying is that Christian faith is supposed to be about all of life. It's more than just our mood from day to day or about giving God his part. It's about living a thankful, prayerful life throughout everyday life, every day, everywhere. One of the Thanksgiving hymns we have in our worship this time of year is "Now Thank We All Our God" that the choir just sang. This hymn of Thanksgiving was written by a man named Martin Rinckhardt in Germany during the 1600s. After graduating from seminary, the writer, Rinckhardt, was called to be a pastor at a church in Eilenburg, Germany, right at the beginning of the 30 Years' War. Because Eilenburg was a walled city, thousands of refugees fled to the city for protection, and they brought with them disease, and they began to use the resources, their already limited resources. The other two pastors in town died soon after that, and so Rinckhardt was left as the only pastor in Eilenburg. During this time, he was sometimes called upon to bury up to 40 or 50 people in one day. In 1 year alone, 8,000 people died, including his own wife. It was at this time of suffering and heartache that he wrote the words, "Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." We often judge our lives by the visible surface things or the occasional good things or bad things that happen to us. And our spiritual lives are so often dependent on this day-to-day ebb and flow of good or bad things. But we as the church are called to be a people who hold on to deeper truths. And it's only through holding on to these deeper kinds of truths that we can even begin to pray ceaselessly or give thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 100 is the go-to psalm of thanksgiving. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations." It's clear that it's not about what we feel from day to day. It's about what God has done, and God is faithful, is always faithful. His love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations, it says. God is faithful. That's one of those deeper truths we're called to hold on to as a church. So I think a lot of times we miss the point of gathering in church. It's not as though God needs it, or so that God can check attendance. We come to church and we sing out our thanks and praise to God and pray week after week. And to be honest, it's slow going sometimes. There's an obvious pattern to it all. It's not often we experience giant spiritual experiences. Growing in faith can be slow. It's a process. I know if you want to become a good golfer, you don't just step out on the course that way. You have to go to the driving range and you hit 50,000 balls. In the same way, learning to be people of faith, people of prayer and thanksgiving, it takes practice. It takes coming here each week and singing praise to the God from whom our blessings flow, reminding us to live lives of thanksgiving. It's sharing in communion, offering up our gifts in offering, hearing a word from the preacher. When my wife Stephanie and I were youth pastors at a church in Texas, the youth kind of had a funny tradition. Whenever we said that it was time to pray, the youth would yell out, "Because we need it." I always thought that was a funny tradition, but it is true, I think. We need it. We need to pray. We need to give thanks. You know, there's actually been studies done that have shown that people who show more gratitude are actually happier people. Paul is telling us to do these things because they're good for us. It says right in our scripture, it's God's will for us that we pray always and give thanks always. It's what's best for us. At Thanksgiving with my in-laws, we go around the table and we say things we're thankful for. I'm sure some of you do this with your family too. Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show had people send in all their family's big Thanksgiving fails. One girl sent in that her mom was in the kitchen cooking and she dropped the turkey on the kitchen floor and then she looked up and said, "Tell no one." Another girl sent in that their family was going to go around and say all the things they were thankful for. And so they did that, and it got around to Grandma, and Grandma was like, "Well, I'm thankful we only have to do this once a year." It may seem cliche or something, but really, we can't begin to give thanks in all circumstances if we don't do it at all. We did this for prayer time in our Sunday school class. We gave thanks. Giving thanks to God is prayer. I've heard of people keeping a prayer box, a little recipe kind of box with an index card for each day of the year, and you, on it you write one thing you're thankful for each day. I imagine looking back after a whole year, 365 days of blessings, our perspective would begin to change. I'd imagine it'd be hard at that point to not be thankful. It's when we're mindful of our many blessings that we can really see how great our God is, which can only lead us back into giving thanks. It's often when we give thanks through our worship, or when we pray, that we can experience the nearness of God. In that moment, we can experience God's goodness, and we are filled and empowered for everyday life. I think the mistake we often make is forgetting that it's in those moments that we're filled. And so instead we go other places, seeking other sources of joy and comfort, when the reality is God is ready, waiting to be with us and fill us with his gracious presence. This Thursday, I get to go have Thanksgiving with my family near Des Moines at my aunt's house. I know the routine. First, we'll surely eat a whole lot of lefse, like the good Swedish family we are. You may not know if you're not Scandinavian. And then I'll proceed to put the big black olives on all 10 of my fingers and walk around. Not sure why I do that, but it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without a funny tradition or two. But then we'll gather around the table and we'll sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Wonder where I learned that from. It's here in this place that we're learning, training, preparing to be people of faith, people of prayer and thanksgiving, who, when life happens outside this place, we can give thanks, we can rejoice always, and pray without ceasing. I've just one more thing to say, and it's a bit off topic. I haven't been here that long, almost 5 months. It's a little scary moving somewhere new and starting my first real call to ministry, but now I really can't imagine it being possible without faithful people like you. My family and I have been so welcomed and cared for. We feel really blessed to have you as our new church family. Call this our new home. I know that being people of faith, learning to follow Jesus, learning to pray and give thanks, it's often a thankless job. So I just want to thank you. Amen.